Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of By the Numbers, the quintessential Counter-Strike podcast. I'm Richard Lewis. He's Duncan Thorin Shield. Sam's that strange, ethereal laugh you will hear from time to time whenever Duncan says anything outrageous, which, of course, you probably won't hear because, as you know by now, we cut all the best bits out because we don't even give a fuck about quality control anymore. As long as that fucking Patreon money keeps rolling in, we'll fucking skank you all. That's how we roll.
I actually feel a bit bad because, you know, they have that saying, like, if you speak something into existence, you know, you say it and it could happen. I used to obviously just be banging on all the time about how they should ban that fucking cunt who's just playing with pogs all the time. I was talking about Mo. Not bad. Start strong.
Listen, when you said you'd actually written material for today, I thought you were joking, mate.
It's all canned material the whole way.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a strange
thing. Now I have to censor myself, so I'm like Bob Monkhouse now, mate. I'm working all off book.
I'm like,
I don't know. That's some reference. All the American viewers are like, I don't know, but that can't be anything good. It isn't. It's not even that good a reference, but.
Well, no, he was a legend. He was a legend. Yeah. Big reference. But yeah, it's a strange time. I'll be honest.
It was one of those cunts who had fucking sprayed on tan though.
Yeah.
Like he just went through, like when they make him on those cars from the Fast and the Furious, like going out, coming out the other side. Well, ladies,
As soon as I get my hair transplant, that's the next thing I'm working on, mate. I'm going to get that tan as well. But yeah, it's a fucking...
I want people to go and look this up right now because not a lot of people will know this. This is something you've somehow kept suppressed. I don't know how, right? So everyone knows what you look like now. Everyone knows what you looked like 10 years ago. But all they need to go to, I think it was 2015, when you bizarrely just had like a fucking... like a flat top out of like for the 80s or something. Like, how in that 1 year did you have hair again? Why is everyone just like that pass by? You remember what I'm talking about? The dream act.
I'm not sure I do.
You did. Well, you had like hair and everything. It was that guy.
It was the last March, mate. It was the last March.
I think it was just when he was having a midlife crisis. He was like, I'll hang on to it for a few more years. And then you finally went, let's just pick it off.
I had to have it styled like that. So it could be the fucking two-pence piece at the back, you know. But anyway, yeah, it has been a strange day. We've got competitive esports leagues fucking taking a hard stance on Pepe. People I know potentially going to jail for teaching a dog a trick. and making a joke. So it is a strange day. Wasn't really in the mood to talk about Counter-Strike, honestly, but I'm guessing nobody wants to tune in and see the fucking Richard Lewis and Duncan Shields discuss current affairs show. So let's just strap ourselves in, talk about the great game of Counter-Strike with all the news that's been happening. And we'll start by talking...
I just love the way we've got like the fucking anti... What was the name of that famous comedian, that one in America who you always reference, who used to talk about when he did that case? Lenny Bruce. There we go. Problem is, we have the anti-Lenny Bruce audience, because obviously his problem was they indulged him too much, you know, so he did just go too far with reading it. We get up on stage like, all right, guys, just going to have to work myself into this one. I've had an idea. They're like, shut the fuck up. Tell the fucking jokes.
Tell the jokes.
Like, brilliant. Yeah. So no camaraderie whatsoever with the audience, and proceed to... Ha ha, Smith's is shit, isn't he? Straight into the material.
Yeah, let's do it. So WESG, man, strange event with lots of stories coming out of the events. I would even go so far as to say the stuff that came out of the event as a result of what happened there is way more interesting than the event itself. But let's just talk a little bit about some bits and pieces, some of the more interesting results in the later stages. It was a very long tournament, obviously had a $1.5 million prize pool, which, let's be real, was principally the reason why so many top-tier teams and top-tier players... I was going to give them maybe one or two others, but
Because here's the sad thing, Rich, if you think about it, right? The maddest thing about this is if this was year one, like last year, I'd go... okay, I guess maybe it'll be better next year. How have they managed to pull this off twice in a row where they've put on a tournament that has the prize pool of a fucking major?
Yeah.
You've put on more than a major. It's like, isn't a major like a million and this is a million and a half? So you've put on it like already two of the top three tournaments to ever be played in CSGO, but twice in a row you've managed to A, not get all the teams, as in sometimes even from your region, you know, B, just nobody gives a fuck. And then three, this is pure coincidence, I have to admit, but somehow three, even though you use a vaguely normal format for the tournament, the people who win the tournament just never play any of the other top teams. It's actually mental. Like, normally, just by pure fluke, if you put on tournaments like this, the final would always be two of the top teams, wouldn't it? Because there's no other talent there. Yeah. You know, what's mad is you don't even sort of get a satisfying victory for anyone. Every time you get a team that's not supposed to win, you know, it's like, I mean, part of it's bad luck, but part of it has to be as well that scenario where if you just have a bad format and you have a bad concept for the tournament and then no one really cares. I add all these things together and then apparently PC issues. And you can end up with two mega underwhelming tournaments because, as you say, just the prize pool alone should automatically make it interesting, right? You'd think people would be going tooth and nail to win this one and attend it, and no one really gives a fuck, do they?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I mean, you know, I talked about this with WESG last week. I think it's a good region to be having big Premier tournaments in. We want to break that Chinese market. We got a Chinese league right now.
Like, I think about this. There's never been a top Danish team in it.
Well, no.
That's like the region that has all the teams, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just weird how they've done it. And on top of that as well, like, the format definitely needs work from the perspective of, I just don't like breaking up existing teams and then trying to build your event as prestigious because you've got some weird idea about it being a nationalistic tournament. There's not really a place for that with what they're trying to do. It's not billed as a World Cup, which we've had. It's not billed as a regional cup, which we've had. It's literally some teams that have all the same nationality roster competing against pugs and mixes. Well, that's a recipe for disaster right there and needs to be revised, I think, if WESG want to claim that they're a top tier tournament. But, you know, they put a lot of money into it, a vast amount of money. As a result of that, the players talk up a good game. I mean, I can't imagine being so outrageously false to the community to say, yep, WESG means more to us than any other tournament. You mean the money does. I mean, at least be fucking honest about that, Fallen. You know what I mean? Like, and yeah. I think, I'll just say him by name now. I've given up. Fuck it. I'll say it.
I believe there was at least, it was either Fallen or Cold Zero. I believe one of them did say in an interview something ludicrous like that. Like, of course, the reason why we're not really practicing for the major is because we want to win tournaments like WESG.
Yeah.
Really? Really? It's like
you consider that a massive. You consider that a
massive. Just make it funnier, though, that they got completely banged out.
Oh, we're getting to that. I've got material for that one, brother, believe it. But yeah, look, you know, I think it's just absurd, isn't it, to talk it up as a great tournament when the format is so fundamentally flawed. Like, even if you win it, you might, A, never have played all the top-tier opposition because of how the format works, and B, you might be playing a pug team in the final. So, you know, Team Russia or whatever. So absolutely ridiculous. And sorry, it wasn't Fallen. It was Cold Zero. So there you go.
It was one of the two.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, but I think, you know, I don't want to attribute anybody falsely. So thank you. Yeah, it was Cold Zero who said that in the interview. But anyway, so let's talk about just some of the storylines from a tournament perspective that happened. I think, you know, the Cloud9 result against Team One was a big one that sort of generated a lot of chatter. This was Cloud9, who actually had a pretty, you know, decent deep run into the tournament. You know, they hadn't really beaten anyone worth shouting about. They did lose in the best of ones to Fnatic. But, you know, they beat Godsend and they did overcome Team Belgium. This is the nature of the tournament, unfortunately. They had a deep run, but they didn't really play anyone worth talking about. Now, what's interesting is they should have set up the rematch with Fnatic because Team One, who are the, like, you know, third string team in Brazil, this should have been a slam dunk for them, but it wasn't. They actually lost 2-1, and it was a weird series because the one map Cloud9 won, they blew Team One out, and everyone. I remember watching it and thinking, "Oh, they've woke up now. This will, you know, it'll be fine." But it wasn't fine, and actually, on Train and Cash, they were lacking quite a bit. So I thought this was interesting. We can talk about fan reactions and everything after the fact, but you know, this is what we've talked about on the podcast a lot lately. Since the major, Cloud9 have sort of had. You know, it's like they plateaued a little bit. They haven't really had anything that makes you suggest that they are going to be a dominant team. You know, they're still a very good team, still comfortably a top 10 team. But right now, this should be their time. You win a major, you make a statement of intent. You've got all these other top-tier teams underperforming, notably SK Gaming, who are so far off the grid right now, dropped out of the top four on the HLTV rankings for the first time in two fucking years. This is where Cloud9 really have the room to dominate, yeah. But just isn't happening. And results like this, honestly, whatever you want to say about Team One, I think this is fucking pretty embarrassing, you know. This was guaranteed semi-finals for me.
Like, that's the bizarre thing about this exact period right now is, like, that's what shows you that it's a bit underwhelming from Cloud9. Because this is the thing, they're not terrible. I mean, as you mentioned, they completely smashed Team 1 on that second map. So, yeah, you'd expect they would have gotten top four minimum here. They were looking fine. They were steering their way past all the upsets. So the very fact that FaZe aren't winning all the titles, SK doesn't even make the top four at the moment in half these tournaments. Everyone else, it's a different tournament winner. This actually should be the prime time where if Cloud9 really is the real deal we saw in the major, they should be scooping up tournaments all over the place. But, yeah, something's missing.
Yeah, something's definitely missing. And, you know, look, I know a lot of people were, like, really celebrating this Team 1 run. And that's very bizarre to me. I mean, similarly, Team 1, sure, they had that 1-1 with Space Soldiers, who we know made it all the way to the final. They beat the likes of Bravado. Really,
they went 1-1 with the fucking like team from wherever it was, Australia or somewhere.
Yeah, that, I think that's the Bravado.
They were pretty underwhelming even in this run, mate.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. So, sure, they beat Cloud9. It is no doubt the biggest result in their history. But this is like such a fucking anomaly within the context. I didn't really understand why people were like sort of bigging up the whole Team One situation. And then obviously we descended into the ridiculous. Scream just said something which to me is so innocuous, to say there's been a lot of upsets at this tournament because of the playing conditions. You know, the computers are bad. We know they've had issues getting everything set up. And he said it in the aftermath of the Cloud9 Team 1 result. I mean, didn't even directly reference it.
Oh, yeah. This has to be, like, I keep thinking we're going to hit this point where everyone in the scene who isn't a deranged Brazilian fan realizes that we are trapped in a steel cage with a deranged lunatic. Because who the fuck are these fans that, like, this is, again, the hill they will choose to die on is... Scream, like, they basically made it sound like if you'd have seen the reaction and you'd have told someone, like a normal person, oh, what do you think this would be an appropriate reaction to? The assumption would be Scream did a tweet like, you know what? Fuck Team One. They haven't earned this win that they just had. Just because the PCs is bad, in it, lol, PS shitters. And then you would also assume, you know, he just lost to them. It was in a match that, you know, they really deserved to win, but he played badly. Right, let's just review the facts for a second, okay? Scream played for Belgium, remember? He's not playing for Envious as usual because he's from Belgium, as everyone always has to go to odds to emphasize. So they didn't even play Team One. He didn't comment about Team One at any point. He didn't even comment about Cloud9, the team that Team One upset. Nothing about his tweet suggests Team One. This is a point I have made many times before. One of the reasons why I actively fuck with Brazilian fans is because you can't stop them commenting. I could say nothing about SK Cold Zero Fallen for a year, but anything I say about FaZe or Astralis or anyone to do with Counter-Strike, they will reply as if I had said fuck SK. So at this point in time, if I know what the reaction is anyway, I'll have some fun with it along the way. Now, in this scenario, though, the reason I'm bringing this up is because Scream right here is he's the control group to show that it's got fuck all to do with if you bait Brazilians or if you try to infuriate them. They do this reaction anyway on stuff that's innocuous. Like, essentially, people were trying to bully Scream on the idea that, like, well, why are you saying that about this tournament? And he was just saying there was a bad...
Just an observation. Problems,
yeah. Yeah, but maybe just don't say that because then someone might assume you're downplaying Team One, who, as we've just referenced, by the way, you have to downplay unless Team One is some sort of cryptocurrency you're trying to sell a bunch of hapless teenagers in esports on, which it's not. That's coming at the end of the show, Thorin Coin, as you know.
No, but I mean, it was just really bizarre to me. It's like, I'm sick and tired, right? There's two things that really fucking boil my piss in esports right now, and in particular in Counter-Strike. And the first is this, that every time there's an upset result, and what is clearly an upset, we have to, like, romanticize it as if this is,
and
like...
discuss whether there is such a thing as an upset.
Yeah. I mean, that's the first thing. Like, you get all these hipster motherfuckers that just come out of the woodwork saying, well, if you knew anything, if you've been watching Team 1 2 years ago like I had, you'd know that Malouk was always going to drop 40. Fuck off, you fucking Doyle. Who the fuck are you?
It was the ultimate comeuppance switch. Because remember, the format of this tournament meant that they beat Cloud9 and this whole merry-go-round began, right? Because of Scream's tweet. It only took something like 6 hours till they played that semi, and Fnatic dicked on them so badly that, don't even look at the rounds, by the way, I think they won like fucking bet like 14 rounds or something. But even worse than that, when they were playing this game against Fnatic, Fnatic was just doing stupid shit, like trying to knife them and I think buying like stupid guns. And like, this was like such a mockery. It's like, it's almost like Team One themselves were like, it's almost like fucking, they were trying to prove a point. Like, you know, the movie Escape to Victory, they were doing the opposite. They were like, you know what? We have got the worst fans in the world. And if we win this game, it'd be wrong. So let's just go out there and prove that these fans are the worst to ever play this game. And at the end, obviously, Rich, to complete the analogy, it was actually all fans from other countries who embraced Team One for standing up against the hatred. And then they sheltered them with their coats and took them off the game. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone actually became a credible actor.
Yeah, he did. He was good in goal. Very good. But yeah, it was just so fucking bizarre. So I'm sick and tired of that. I'm sick and tired of, because you watch these low level teams, which by the way, I do. And I know a lot of esports talent does, and a lot of analysts, some certainly more than others do. But this idea that when you watch them within the context of their competition, that they're, you know, that they're up against, and you go, well, they were great against all these tier two teams, that somehow gives you a gauge, a barometer to judge how they're going to do against tier one opposition. And then on top of that, when they do get these like fluke one-off results, you go, yeah, well, they always had it in them. No, they clearly didn't, because if they always had it in them, it would have happened before now, you fucking idiot. So I'm sick and tired of, like, you know, it's great when they happen. I like upset results. I think they're great when they happen for tournaments. But they you can't then say that one result is the foundation of some dynastic era for the team. Because how often does that happen? How often do we see a team achieve one of these upset results and then go on to achieve more and more
almost never.
Yeah, exactly. They very rarely move into the top tier of competition. And then on top of that, I'm absolutely sick and tired of the idea that the fan reaction is if it's unreasonable, if you address the elephant in the room, you're somehow part of the problem, and you're like, seriously.
Oh, that always gets worse, because the worst thing is people always build that victim element in. It's like, you know, that concept that like they're going to be the victim no matter what. No matter what is said, no matter what they do, they're always the victim. Even if they're the ones brutalizing someone else, they use that logic of like talking about paddling. That's a paddling even more. It's like, why is this reasonable? Yeah. So I can't just say this is pretty fucking unreasonable, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like for me, you know, and I'll just say this has got nothing to do with the fact that they're Brazilian fans. They are just dog shit fans. This small subsection of people that decided to attack Scream and then Cloud9 and then just anybody that said, whoa, you got a good result. You're spoiling it a little bit here, lads. You're spoiling it a little bit.
Also, think about how mad this actually is in the context of the joke that I made at the beginning of the episode. So in other parts of the world, you now literally can go to jail for fucking making a joke online. These guys are just for fun, as like a secondary pastime. They wait till their teams lose games and just fucking go and tell everyone they're going to kill them, etc.
Yeah. I thought it was just bizarre that even blew up. Like, just making an observation about tournament conditions now from a pro player, which I always thought, don't we want... put it this way. If you were logically consistent and you were one of these fans, I will wager right here, right now, that every time ColdZera or Taco or Fallen have talked about, or Bolts, these are all people who've talked about tournament conditions and how it's contributed towards Brazilian teams losing events, right? These are all pro players that have done it. I will wager you those fans have been there going, these fucking tournaments, it's all a conspiracy.
Much better events than this as well, by the way, that they've done that from. And even that's even worse, isn't it, Rich? Let's tie it back in again to the thing that we said.
Yeah,
about.
Well, okay, let's get to it, yeah.
Real talk. The number one complainers in the entire world, maybe of all time at tournaments, are fucking SK Gaming from Brazil.
Yeah. It's so
the dumbest thing is, the own fans themselves are morons, because this is actually a time when they should have been on board with the idea that, yeah, you know what, actually, maybe there are some upsets due to that, because guess what? Your actual best team lost due to upsets, you daft fucks. You should be on board with this. It's on message. How are you going to go against your own line? And again, as we say, you know, the difference is, part of the reason why we sort of like jab at SK over it sometimes is, sometimes they do it totally justified, but because they do it so much, they've got like no trigger discipline in that sense. They do it every event that there's a small problem. So they'll do it when there's like a problem that's like, man, that's not a real problem. That's just going to tournaments, you know. Sometimes the internet's going to go down, or there's going to be one PC that's not quite as good or whatever. They do it on that sort of stuff. So the idea that now no one's allowed to do it about, like, as you've seen with some of those fucking videos where the ceiling's falling in and then people are like, I can't play, I am in freeze frame mode. Like, remember, this was only the last tournament, Rich, where they were all going mental about the alt tabbing, which, yes, was a legitimate issue, but we're not allowed to comment that, oh, look, a tournament where a bunch of underdog teams are getting mad upsets, top teams are going out, and what? It's a coincidence, the same tournaments, all these problems that a bunch of people, by the way, who aren't even shit talkers, like fucking Scream and Crims, etc., wouldn't come out normally and be like, the conditions here are shit. Like, it was almost nobody. Like, I didn't put it so, I didn't see a single pro defender tournament.
No, I think JW said, was that great soundproof booze, lads. Exactly. That'd be brilliant. All you need is a fucking box. What are you talking about?
Tell you what, they know how to make a fucking box.
it was just
put me in it.
Yeah, it was just unreal.
See, so, some sort of fucking Undertaker tribute or something.
But it was just so bizarre to me. Like, I mean, to come back to SK Gaming just for a moment, it is weird, isn't it, that these people that have been so vehemently criticizing every tournament on for whatever reason, if they don't eventually lift the trophy, they went out early. They had a terrible time here. This is where you stick the boot into a tournament organizer if the PCs are laggy or not up to spec. You know, this was meant to be your crown and glory. Apparently, according to you, you fucking trained for this tournament going as far back as the major. Yet you didn't even make it to a respectable position in the tournament. So now surely you're going to unload a salvo. But no, they couldn't. They didn't. And I suspect, again, it's because, well, we'd certainly like to go back to a tournament that is paying way more prize money than any others. And that's quite a damning indictment that a lot of these pros that, you know, they'll look, again, we all know ESL have problems. We all know, look, no tournament's perfect. Obviously, you know, I work for E-League. I'll stay here. I'll sit here and say E-League's made mistakes. Obviously,
I wasn't at every ESL tournament the last few years for obvious reasons, but I will guarantee there has been no ESL tournament over the big ESL tournament over the last 3 years as bad as this tournament.
Yeah, but no, I mean, chance. Like the just think about it. The ESL tournaments are certainly your bread and butter in the landscape, and this is a 1 a year gig. So I don't understand it, and I think it's almost indefensible to kind of be like, they're all right. These guys with the big checks, $800,000 for first place. We'll tolerate shit PCs for that kind of money. It's like, it's either okay or it ain't. And you're either money fixated or you ain't. Which one is it? You can't have both. So we'll talk about SK then. You know, we'll segue into that. This, as I said, was hyped up to be the one they were working for. All the tactics that they'd been saving, all the performances, the boot camping beforehand. Well, it certainly didn't show in the way they played, and it was really fucking poor, actually, if you look at where they finished. You know, sure, there was some best of ones here, but they lost to Big, and they lost to Team Russia. So, obviously, let's go into those results sort of so people can contextualize what we're talking about here. This is the new look, all German Big, by the way, with Tizian in the lineup. Now, Nex went off and had a great game here, which, you know, that's a once in a blue moon occurrence these days. Actually, Tabson was the most sort of ordinary player on the team. Didn't really perform that well at all. He was below Tizian in terms of kills and deaths and even damage, I think. But there's no way in the world that SK Gaming should be losing to Big on train, understand? On train. There's just no way that should happen. But you're like, okay, it's a best of one. Well, prior to that, you know, they played Team Russia, who were a complete mix. This is the team that had all of these problems ahead of time because, obviously, with the Flamey issue, they had to bring Hooch out at the last minute to basically fill in for them, and their roster was seized. You know, try not to laugh, by the way, at home, that this is a team that comfortably beat SK Gaming. Seized, Hooch, World Edit, Dozier, and Electronic. That five came together with no practice whatsoever and beat SK Gaming on Overpass. There's trouble at the mill. Like, SK Gaming have got real fucking problems and they know it.
Well, what's great actually about these two results and the way it happened is, first of all, as you alluded to, these weren't good teams that were beating them. Like, this wasn't like they, you know, got unlucky and they had to play Fnatic and Fnatic just had a great game on Inferno or you know, something like, no, it's nothing like that. These are teams they should absolutely have beaten. Like, I don't expect Big to go on and be really good. Russia is literally a mixed team that was missing arguably the best player. Like, Flamey's actually one of the best players on that team. Yeah. Electronic hasn't done that much in Na'Vi. So, didn't have Flamey, still win anyway. Remember, SK's supposed to have the firepower to deal with all these guys. Then you look at the two maps, Train and Overpass. Obviously, amazing maps for even this lineup not that long ago. Definitely the lineup with Phelps. But if you've noticed, one of the reasons why they've come under all this abuse from fans over the fact that they don't pick Overpass into people all the time like they used to. And they don't let Train be the third map when other teams are basically signaling, yeah, go ahead, let's play Train. Instead, they will basically let it be Inferno every fucking time as the third map and then lose. Well, the reason why, as I've alluded to on past shows, is there are in-game leaders who just do stupid vetoes, and that's because they have a totally different philosophy. Fallen isn't one of those guys. Look, normally Fallen's veto has a very clear logic to it, which is why the guy's had so many amazing top X finishes, you know. Like, he can't make his team win the tournament every time. He can definitely do all the things outside the game other than that to set him up. So the fact that they were going away from these past strengths, to me, said there's something wrong here. Like, basically, maybe we do badly in practice on them. Maybe we, you know, specific teams have figured out something. And these are the two maps that have ended up costing them in best of ones. Where, remember, we haven't seen them this year. The only best of one they will have played on LAN this year, remember, because obviously the major they had a stand in, would be that first round match at Katowice. That's it. Because everything else was best of threes, remember. So the veto actually might have hidden some of the problems in their map pool. I mean, it didn't, because it kept throwing up Inferno, which they willingly played and just fucking got executed on. But there's massive problems in SK right now. This is obviously the worst of all the results.
Yeah, well, it's interesting as well because, I mean, I don't – maybe pro players know something that I don't. I mean, they'll very often say that they do. But I think it was Apex. I can't remember, but it was one – I'm pretty sure it was one of the French guys said, oh, SK Gaming have got the group of death in this tournament. And that it was actually quite – it was always going to be tough for them, which, again, I just, you know, don't really
– nowhere.
I mean, I'm pretty sure if somebody could find the tweet for me, that'd be super helpful.
Like, I mean, he is right in as much as, like it's one of the only groups, because the field's so whack, it's one of the only groups where, like, in theory, three teams could get out, but, like, it's definitely nothing crazy about that. Like, if you're SK, you should be cruising through that, obviously.
Yeah, and again, I've got the second person wrong. It wasn't Apex either, but, there's a lot going on. Yeah, another pro player definitely said SK Gaming were in the group of death. And it's like, you've got Big Team Russia and a team called fucking New Four. Like, please, like, you know, this is SK Gaming. This is a prepared and drilled SK Gaming. This is an SK Gaming lineup that was winning tournaments, like just a few months ago. So it was very bizarre. Now, they did come out afterwards. And if Fallen tweeted out, you know, that, yes, we're certainly not happy with the way this is going, and we're going to do what it takes to get back to being the best, you know, which is one thing I'll always say about SK Gaming, just in case anybody thinks I don't admire their talents, which would be patently untrue, is that when they go through periods where they don't succeed, they don't want to just cash checks. They will cut friends. They will cut fucking friendships right down to the bone and bring in new players and do whatever it takes to get back to winning. That's what really motivates them. They're not like an NA team in that sense. They're not like some European teams in that sense. They don't give a fuck about friendships and oh, it'd be great to win a tournament with this player. No, if that player's not pulling his weight, he's gone. And they'll be as brutally ruthless as they need to be number one again. So it does make me wonder whether or not off the back of this WESG embarrassment, they are indeed going to make another roster change, because I suppose this would be the time to do it. There's no, you know, tournaments that are going to fuck you up in terms of roster swaps.
Well, if you saw, there was that deleted tweet from Hooch.
Yes.
Duplicated that, right?
And I was going to bring that up. So I'll give this to Sam, so Sam can jump in and do his producing bit. But if you look here, Hooch deleted a tweet. And there's a few people been talking, actually. And he said, when you find out the new SK lineup, you will lose the power of speech. So a lot of people went back and forth on Reddit.
I was fucking celebrating. I was like, great. Finally, their fans are taken care of. just a metaphor, sadly.
So I was like, hang on a fucking minute, you know, what could this mean? And I was like, looking at the debate back and forth, because obviously there's this whole other thing about SK Gaming. Do they mean this the team that is currently SK Gaming that is joining Immortals, or do they mean the SK Gaming team that is coming in to join SK Gaming, which was formerly the KNG guys?
Problem with that is, like, I know what people mean by that. Like, oh, maybe he's just doing the old bait and switch. It's like, but the problem is, though, in that case, I do not know Hooch to be like this, but he would just be being an attention whore, wouldn't he? Because the obvious implication is the real SK line that we think of as in the team right now, you know. So I don't think he was doing that personally. I assume he was talking for real about this SK team. Now, the fact he deleted it, that's certainly interesting, because, like, as you've noticed, by the way, leaks just come out of the CIS scene all the time. It's because, I don't know if it's like a culture there. I should really ask someone about this. But they do, bizarrely, all seem to know each other's business and then all just publicly say it in tweets and podcasts. Mm-hmm. I even did an interview recently where, no joke, the guy goes, and let's talk about money. How much are you making at each event? And I was just literally sat there like, is this a fucking joke? What do you want me to do next? Spread my fucking cheeks and cough? Mm-hmm. I don't even think that's any sort of in any order. Maybe I've just been going the wrong places, Rich. I don't know. Anyway, that's what I needed to do.
He don't do that at the doctor's office, mate. You do that in prison. Have you been listening to Ice Cube's The Predator recently, mate? Yeah, lift up your nutsack. That's unreal. Anyway, busting cheeks and splitting wigs. But anyway, it's interesting you mentioned that. I mean, like, certainly you're right. A lot of these leaks have come out of the CIS region. You got that fishiest dude who, you know, pretended to be Zeus. He's been putting out a lot of leaks.
I love the way, mate. He did the equivalent of, like, you know, when people are just saying mad stuff that, like, obviously wants attention, and then they go, why is bloody
I did see
this?
That.
Misreading what I'm saying again. Oh, your entire existence isn't just constantly alluding to that all the time. Yeah. Like, these people who are on Twitter, by the way, where they're only known for having Twitter posts that leak shit. And then they're like, stupid Reddit, not reading my mind of this obviously bait thing that I've done. Like, well, maybe just stop doing stupid tweets.
Yeah.
So, oh, I forgot. Then you would not exist. My mistake.
So let's talk about that then. So, I mean, you know, the Hooch tweet combined with some other rumors that are flying about definitely suggests SK Gaming are going to make some roster changes. This has been going on simultaneously with talk about V, and some people are trying to interweave the two as if the implication is that Simple's going to leave. Yes. And join SK Gaming, a.k.a.
Which would surely be the most ridiculous move in the history of Counter-Strike, version of Counter-Strike.
It would be absolutely fucking nonsense. But I've seen people tweeting about it. People have come to me and said they've heard the rumor. There's absolutely... It's just a move that makes no sense.
Here's the thing. The reason why, I agree, it makes no sense. I don't know why it would. I don't know why on either side it would happen, why anyone would want to do this. But the only reason I want it to happen, right, Rich, is because I'll actually, this is the time I'll break them. Because when it happens, my tweet will say, Cold Zero is the best player in the world. He's not even the best player on his team. But think about it, Rich. When they initially get angry, they can't follow the thought through in their mind because now they have to be a fan of Simple. And not only that, think how many years of tweets they've been tweeting to me about how Simple's shit and he's never going to do anything and he's not that good and Cold Zero's better. Like, they'll literally have an aneurysm trying to think through this logic circuit in their brain. They'll be just done.
Well, I'm gonna just put out a little bit of logic here as to why the Simple move would be absolutely ridiculous. Okay, so sure, in you're thinking, oh, SK Gaming's joining Immortals, but they're not joining Immortals, ladies and gentlemen. The Immortals brand purchased the rights to MIBR, made in Brazil, because the idea of having the best Brazilian team, who also would be potentially a number one team in the world at any time, while also having the nationalistic element of the branding made in Brazil, that's a marketing dream. Plus, it's got nostalgia factor and everything else. So you put a fucking Ukrainian teenager in there, and he's got to rock the fucking tag made in Brazil. Well, he weren't made in Brazil.
All communicating in second language of
English.
Fucking English. And remember, remember, they live in NA where he has explicitly said he doesn't want to live. Now, here's the thing. I will say, Simple has improved massively. You don't hear any of those stories about him being toxic. He's even cleaned up his public image. But someone linked to one of those old clips, Richard, that, like, if I knew where the clip was now, I'd just link it. Because obviously I can't say what he says, but I'll do an edited version. Where, here's the thing, right? You know when those old stories, like, he's toxic and all that? You know, a lot of the time I would defend it. Like, yeah, well, no, he's just very young and talented. He's probably frustrated with the game. There's a clip, Rich, right, that is just inexcusable on any grounds. It's where 2 years ago in 2015, Freiburg's streaming, right, and they're on Mirage. And then what's happening is Freiburg's like running around the underpass area. And then, you know, Simple just runs in and kills someone with like a Glock or something. And then Freiburg goes like, yeah, great job, Simple. And then he just goes, shut up, old F word. And then Freiburg's just like, what? I mean, it's like just an FPL summit. He's just like, why? That's just so unreasonable, isn't it? Like, that's so unreasonable. I'm imagining him being in this team with fucking Cold Zero. Like, why are you bait? It's like, he'd be so triggered, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he's definitely got better, mate. But I mean, you know, real talk.
Also, fucking SK Gaming going out in a group with fucking Big and Russia. That sounds like some sort of shit fucking Carmack comedy skit. You are below Big Russia today? People just trying to put him in a fucking, give him the Oscar and the award for best acting in a fucking shit person from Poland trying to pretend to be really funny goes to Carmack for the 17th year. I'd like to thank the Academy. Are you in Big? Like Chuckle Brothers or something fucking hell.
So anyway,
that's enough for myself.
Yeah, good. You shoe on that one in, but I'll let you off. So anyway,
not even a point behind it, is there?
It just makes no fucking sense. To the idea of having a Brazilian brand with Brazilian players bringing in you know what I mean? Like to bring in a non-Brazilian player to play for Made in Brazil is fucking absurd. So I mean, I don't know. I mean, of course. The other way to think about it is they do incredibly limit themselves if they have to stick to Brazilian players. I mean, the idea of bringing in they've already played with the best available Brazilian players. So,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
How do you make an improvement? And with Hooch's tweet saying you will lose the power of speech, it does allude to the fact that it's going to be something so shocking and unthinkable. It does put the Simple move squarely back into the...
I still don't buy the Simple one, but did you see the other one that people were suggesting? That maybe it's Elige.
Oh, the Elige one. Okay.
Yes, because they brought that one back. Because remember, it was Immortals that he was going to join before in that proposed scenario, which, by the way, is another classic example of where every hater fan who has zero inside info, by the way, they even follow people on Twitter who barely have any inside info, but because they have to pretend to these people they follow that they have all the inside info, they just lie when they don't have any info. So what happens was Elige definitely did leave Team Liquid for a more hot moment behind the scenes. Yes, he was considering joining fucking Dazed's team of banned players who would never be able to play. And that is because as I got automatic to fully admit in my interview with him, he was supposed to join Cloud Nine. He had essentially left Team Liquid, was going to join Cloud Nine. That deal broke down last minute. What do you know? Deals can break down before they're done, even when someone's left a team, Rich. Almost like DK has been saying that for fucking years and everyone else who does investigative journalism. So that doesn't go against your record when it doesn't happen, because he never said it has happened. Why would anyone do a report like that? Anyway, so in this scenario, that was the other option that he had at the time, which was obviously Immortals needed all those players because they were having to siphon through, you know, remember, they couldn't even sign players from some of these teams, you know, so they were in a scenario where they needed someone. And then that's when all that stuff came out. Oh, he can speak conversational Portuguese and sometimes he plays pugs with them. And so that was a real thing. Apparently they floated. So this also seems fairly unlikely, but at least he lives in NA. At least maybe he can speak Portuguese. Those would be starters, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's super interesting to me that there's all these sort of rumors going on about potentially for the first time sort of making this an international lineup, bringing in a non-Brazilian player to go and play in the MIBR brand. I mean, potentially, maybe Noah decides, well, fuck it, if they're not all Brazilian players, the MIBR thing is a little bit stupid, we'll keep that one on the back burner and he puts them into Immortals for now. Who fucking knows? Because that would be a better fit from a branding perspective. But certainly it looks like SK Gaming are going to make roster changes off the back of this WESG thing. And I think, you know, you got to say, yeah, they probably need to at this point, because you can't set yourself up for the fall like this. You can't say we're doing all the work, we're doing all, and this is definitely the team that's going to be number one, and then go to a tournament like this, which you said is your fucking goal. Like, don't judge us before this tournament. Well, this is your worst performance, actually. You were performing better at tournaments prior to this and saying we're disappointed. So this is what? Double disappointment. It's beyond a joke. Another one of the storylines that came out of this was obviously with Fnatic. And we talked a lot in the last episode of the podcast about how it looked like Golden was going to be going. You had Nell, the French reporter, had put out a report saying that Golden was going and being replaced by Exist. I did a reaction video to it because Nell certainly is like the French DK. He's never had a wrong report yet. And he definitely has a lot of inside information because of his ties with players and everything else. But Fnatic won this whole fucking tournament with Golden. So that's now two tournaments in 2018 that Golden has been the in-game leader for. Now, the idea of kicking the in-game leader that has just led you to two tournament victories, two huge tournament victories. This is a massive payday for the Fnatic players, no doubt. They probably never imagined they would see paychecks like this again. And coming so quickly off the back of Katowice, the idea that he's going to go is ridiculous. But
sickest thing is, Rich, actually, that's the one thing you forget, though, is remember, they won all their tournaments in just the era before the massive paydays like this.
Exactly.
You know, they used to get like 100K for winning the whole tournament. Mm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, anyway, after this tournament that they won, and we can talk about the final and the game if you want as well, but Golden did tweet out saying, "I stay," which certainly isn't very elaborate or whatever, but it, to me,
or even grammatically accurate,
but
he only had two words to say it,
but he does he does point out then that it looks like he may have been leaving, so it adds credibility to Nell's report. And it does make me wonder, what the fuck are you thinking? If you get so far into the move, a reporter can announce it, and then it's like, shit, we've won the tournament now. Ah, fuck it. We'll just do a Brexit on that. Like, I mean, I kind of feel a little bit sorry for Exist, because he probably thought he was going to get a new home and get to play with some sick players.
Best part is, he's had the whole community take a shit in his face, and then the move didn't even happen.
Yeah.
He's got nothing off it, hasn't he? It's unreal, isn't it?
Wreck for 2 days for note.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's had people like me and you, like, all last week in the podcast. He's not even a real in-game leader. He's garbage. Look at all this blue. Look how fucking terrible he is. He's not the one.
Whether the storm exists, come on, you can get through this. You did it before in an IP. It'll be worth it to be in this team and be at back top level Counter-Strike. The little cunt's done what? He's only going to won two tournaments in a row. I'm still coming in, though, Anna. And then they're like, yeah, about that. You don't stay. Some sort of Dragon's Den or something. JW.
I'm out.
Yes. Fucking J.W. Fusher and Crims just sat around. Yeah. Tell me more.
So all the vetoes are shit. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know, mate. This whole thing's a fucking shambles. This is almost like
and
classic.
Can I keep cheating? I'm going to need 30% of the prize money. Just
that's fucking good. Obviously, we don't think that.
No, apart from that's close just players. A hypothetical scenario. Never happened.
Yeah, exactly. Never happened. Didn't happen. 100% didn't happen. But anyway, this whole thing's been a shambles. It's like classic Fnatic management in that sense, right? That it's like, this move is leaked immediately, like all Fnatic moves seem to do. It gets so... It's implausible. You get the fans upset about it. You get the pundits upset about it. And then, we'll just do an about turn on it. Fuck it. It's just really weird. And I mean, of course, we're assuming now there's an about turn. For all we know, they may have already signed a contract with Exist. They're like, Golden's like, I stay on bench. We don't know, do we?
Yeah, yeah. Here's the thing, Rich. I'll put both together. You know what I've realized? The only logical solution to this scenario exists joining SK. He's the new in-game leader. They're map pool shit anyway, so his VTOLs will just fit right in. I pick Inferno. No, mate, that's the one we said. Shit, no. I thought that was a meme. I thought Thorin made that up, though. I veto.
I don't think he's going
to. We've got to make that the new in joke. Just saying in a mad dramatic fashion to my I stay. It's like fucking Cordon or something.
I'll try it, mate. I'll try it. I'll try and fit it in. But give me your thoughts on this. I mean, obviously, for me, it would be better for Fnatic if Golden stayed. I think kicking an in-game leader after winning two tournaments is so inexplicable. I don't think I could ever think of a move in Counter-Strike history that would even have parallels to that. You know, like that once your team is peaked and winning tournaments, that's when you depose the in-game leader. I'm really struggling to think of another time that that's happened. Not that the in-game leader's left and had a tantrum or whatever, but you literally decided to remove the in-game leader. They're like, that to me is so strange. So I think it's better that Golden stays. But I mean, equally now, there's another thing to consider. If I'm Golden, I'm thinking, you little fucking rats. Every time I look at him, you little rats. You little cunt, she was going to do.
Oh, in the back of your mind, yeah, the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Kicking me for Exist, were you?
Yeah, exactly. I'd be like, oh.
Golden, mate, this strat. I'm having a really hard time getting it on B. Yeah. Same strat again.
Yeah, exactly.
Same one.
We're going to switch things up a little bit. What was your least favourite position, Flusher? The one that's got no walls because I don't. Whatever. Whatever, Robbie. We'll put you there. We'll put you there. No mouse lifting for you. And that's that. And that's it. Like I would be so fucking pissed off if I was him. I'd be literally fuming because
but that's the problem though, Rich. Like knowing players, they just don't do that. Like unfortunately, players remind me of fucking dogs in that sense. You know how dogs will just automatically figure out a certain hierarchy. He's having a drink while he's doing that.
What's wrong with you, mate?
So anyway, all I'm saying is someone needs to cut Flusher's balls off. No, anyway, the point is, you know, if you put a bunch of dogs together, usually they don't actually fight because they figure out really quickly what the hierarchy is. And even if you get a dog that normally is the dominant one at home or whatever, if you put it with a bunch of different dogs, sometimes that immediately like kicks in the gear and it knows it can't sort of boss the other ones around. Sadly, players are like that. So in loads of scenarios where these sorts of things have happened in the past, and madly, the players can just reset because half of them, they just come out of the relief of like, I haven't been kicked. And somehow they actually then like, they have Stockholm syndrome. Good example in this case where then they actually, in this scenario, he's like a dog who's just being kicked. I mean, he's just still, next day he's like, can I have bacon? I love you.
Yeah. Players are like dogs with Stockholm syndrome.
You should write a white paper about this. But yeah, I mean, look, it is just a weird situation. I mean, even let's assume for whatever reason that it isn't even necessarily all of the players. Like, it was just like the power players that day.
Oh, very rarely is. I mean, think about it. Almost every move like this. This is why that scenario we'll probably talk about, I'll assume later, with G2 is perfect. Because these always look, because of the way currently teams still do it by like majority rule or whatever the fuck, it still looks like, oh, most of the team decided these moves. But if you ever dig into these things behind the scenes, it's almost never the whole team. Like, you have to really be playing badly or be like the clear weak link, you know, before the, or be an arsehole before the team actually fully all wants to kick it. It's nearly always like fucking house of cards. You know, there's one player like, well, I want him gone. So do I have the votes? Do I have this guy? And would this guy side with me? Is he all in on, you know, when they do that thing where they fucking whip the vote? That's what it's like in half these episodes. Whip those fucking dogs.
Yeah. And also as well, just another point of consideration, whichever player or players advocated for Golden to be out and bring Exist in, have obviously been interacting with Exist going, ah, it's going to be great when we're playing. Well, now you're not. So those people are going to be a little bit despondent, a little bit headfirst. But I just think it's like there is a potential here for a massive derailing in terms of chemistry. Plus, there was all those photos and like, I know they say a picture says a thousand words, but I don't put any stock into that. Where literally there were people who were taking pictures of Golden when he was at his PC by himself, going, "Where are all the other players? They've abandoned their leader." You know, like fucking Kevin Costner in JFK when he's giving a speech, "You have abandoned your king." Like, it's just gibberish. It's just a picture with him sat at his desk. It doesn't mean shit. You know, you could put any caption under that. You know, Golden 5 minutes early, Golden 5 minutes late, leaving PC. You know, whatever you want to spin it as. So. I don't know. I think if Golden stays, I think it's the better move. But what a fucking mess in the build up to it that could have all been avoided. So speaking of messes, Space Soldiers raising the bar for fan interaction. We'll get to that. But let's talk about Space Soldiers, man. This is a team that you know. Look, I know this is a topic we'll definitely differ on. Because I know I said all that stuff earlier about, oh, you shouldn't buy into the whole, you know, one upset and then the underdogs are a decent team. I watched a lot of Space Soldiers prior to the major, and I watched them, I watched all the games at the major, kind of was watching how they worked, you know, had talks with major and stuff. They lost this tournament, which they absolutely should have won, by the way. It was a ridiculous choke to be 14-7 up in the last map and throw it all away. I got to be honest, I think these are...
Weird how we're allowed to say that when it's an underdog team, right?
Yeah.
Not when it's literally the favourite losing.
But I got to say, I think these are one of the teams that have come from that tier two area and are now very firmly, for me, a strong international team. I know you couldn't really judge it on the run they had here, but their performance in the final against Fnatic, choke notwithstanding, was good. They beat decent teams along the way, you know, as good as they had to play. And overall, their international tournament results are decent now. So I think we can safely put Space Soldiers in that canon of solid international teams. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Whereabouts is like solid international for you?
I mean, okay, let's bust out the HL TV rankings. I don't know if you've done one recently, Duncan, have you?
I haven't done one in a while, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't think I'd seen one of yours. Yeah, no worries.
Also, I've got to schedule the one day for everyone in the entire community to tell me, "You're fucking so wrong." Why? Because you put it 7 instead of 8, you fucking cunt. And then HLTV all publishes theirs. Well, whatever it says here must be right, because computers.
So, like, if you look at where they are, right, like, they're ranked 12th overall on the HLTV standings.
That's probably about right.
Yeah, it's probably about right. But then, like, Renegades are 11th. I could definitely move Space Soldiers up one for me. There's NIP there at 10th.
I don't know about that. I think Renegades is better than Space Soldiers, mate. Here's the problem I have with this, okay?
Yeah, I'm not too sure about that. But,
remember, Space Soldiers is the classic team where they're like good for one upset most tournaments. Mm. Now, in this one, they just played no one, had a run all the way to the final. First good team they played was Fnatic, and they lost. Now, admittedly, they almost did beat Fnatic, no doubt. But still, they still haven't done a whole lot, you know. And then obviously part of the problem with Space Soldiers is that, What's funny is Space Soldiers in CSGO remind me actually of the whole reason that we had this whole problem with Fox fans in 1.6. Because unlike CSGO, where Fox has never been a really good player or some like carry player, in 1.6 he was the best player on his teams. And remember, he was about a decade younger. He was actually a decent enough player. And at the time, in a game where you only had these talents that were stuck in countries without teams that were good enough, you just had hints of what they might be able to do, because they'd always be going out, you know, on the round of 16 of a tournament. They'd never be making a playoff series. So what would happen was, back then, someone like Fox was what would you would have considered like an Oscar or one of these people. You know, he's pretty good, but he comes from a country that's pretty terrible and his team's never been good. And because he only gets three maps in every tournament, how good really is he? And then here's the problem. Normally when that happens, you can actually, it's usually the opposite. You're usually talking him up like, oh, well, this Oscar guy actually has some skill if he was on a good team. But the problem is the fans of Fox famously were so obnoxious. They not only suggested he was good, they used to, without any sarcasm, this wasn't trolling, by the way, this is even before people used to say trolling all the time, they used to legitimately believe he was like a top five player in the world and was like the best AWPer, and that, you know, it was just because of the system, man, and like he doesn't get a chance to succeed. So unfortunately, Space Soldiers for me is in that category, because obviously, as we're going, I assume we're going to talk about, they have mega obnoxious fans. So whenever that happens, it always skews all perception of the team, because on the one hand, when they get upsets, yeah, you want to be like, yeah, well, that's decent enough, but at the same time, you do not want to even vaguely seem like you're feeding into the fever pitch delusions of the fans who were like, they were always good. They were good 2.5 years ago. And it was every other tournament was the outlier, not this one. Like, come on, man, get reasonable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I say, I think Space Soldiers really could have won this tournament, which would have been kind of, I suppose it would have been fitting for a tournament that was full of upsets. But you made a good point on Twitter, actually. This is one of the best examples I think I've ever seen of telegraphed nerves really rattling a team.
The main point I took away from this result, by the way, is that, like, I've always said whenever I've watched Space Soldiers in the past, it always looked like they just had to have someone frag out. It was the Xantaras or Kallax used to just go ham on one game and they would beat some good international team 16-13 on like a middle of the map pool game in a best of one. So that was what their upsets were like. Well, that's why I don't get where in this G2 scenario that just happened, you kept having all these people, including Nell, actually, who would kept using that thing of like, well, of course, Major used to play in the French scene in 1.6, so maybe he should become the in-game leader of G2. And I would always be like, but why? If surely the one thing we can acknowledge about Space Soldiers is they don't look like they have a really like cohesive team and a great tactical system and a great read on the game. They just look like they have some good players who frag out, and then a bunch of them are inexperienced or have never done anything aside from that. So as I said in my video about Shox, this was almost the ultimate, like, terrible advertisement if you're Major and you ever hoped to get on a French team, because all you basically sure does here is nothing in this final. Like, you look fucking terrible.
Sure. Well, I mean,
from his end of the equation, at least.
So let's be clear about Space Soldiers. One of the things that I observed in the Major, you know, firsthand, was that they were all their games were pretty close, apart from Big, who they blew out. I think every other game was 16-13, right? And they lost some games 16-13 that they definitely should have and could have won, including the Gambit game. And look, they had Mouse Sports on the ropes at one point in that match on Mirage, I believe it was. They lost 16-13 to SK Gaming, also on Mirage, commanding position. And it's, for me, where you judge great teams, it's not even necessarily about players, because it's about calls. In the super close games, one or two rounds will be won simply by your in-game leader with having a good read or making a good call or throwing in a strat that's, you know, it looked, you know, a fake, that they're doing one thing, but they're actually going to do another. Like, that was one of the things that revolutionized Astralis when Glaive came in. Glaive suddenly went from being this, you know, he just had a lot more balls than Carrigan in terms of the strats he called. He was like, look, if we get a pick here, we'll go. We'll fully commit to it. I mean, that's what won him the Major. Just called an all-out balls-to-the-wall, you know, fucking outside rush on train to close out the deciding map. Carrigan was way more methodical, and you could see the players weren't necessarily confident in the system. If you've got a strong in-game leader, that's going to be like, yeah, of course we'll just do this. We're gonna totally steamroll them. It's fine. Just do your fucking job, and I'll be there, and I'll chip in, and I'll frag, and it starts working. Your confidence gets built up, and those crunch situations don't seem to bother you quite so much. The amount of times I've watched Space Soldiers start to wilt when they get close, 12 rounds, 13 rounds, and they start throwing rounds away, and players start running around like headless chickens and don't know what to do, and people get scared to peek. That all stems from your in-game leader. And I don't think Major really has sort of done enough to warrant being considered a great tactical mind. He's very solid. He's very competent. But from 14-7 up on a deciding map, which is arguably your best map.
Yeah, for sure.
There is absolutely no way you should lose, even to a team like Fnatic. So people definitely need to take a long, hard look at Major. Sure, you can argue maybe he doesn't have the foil, the muse, to the tools to get things done on Space Soldiers. But I would not champion that at all. I think in like the likes of Zantares and
he's got a lot of talent for it.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind he doesn't have a top team, there's some decent talent in this team. That's the stupidest part about people's analysis of this team, is that you look at them, right? Okay, as I've mentioned before, they have always been better online than they have on LAN. Now, don't immediately come with the fucking ridiculous rhetoric that people always come with. But a lot of teams are better online than LAN. No, first of all, actually, the best teams in the world are better on LAN, believe it or not. You go and look at the SK Gamers, the FaZe, they tear it up on LAN. They're fucking amazing. Part of the reason why is when teams like this play on LAN, they tend to play a bit more scared. Like, yeah, if they're at the beginning of the tournament, they've got the weird best of one, they might have a game they feel confident in. But whenever it's the closeout game, whenever it's the game that might get you to the playoffs, you can bank on this team to shit the bed in a 12-12 game, or a game where you've just got to push three over the line, as it were. Like, no, they won't be able to do it. And part of the problem here, this is where, again, this is where you can tell people just hear what they want to hear and then respond as though you'd said that. Because if you think about it, right, what do people actually think I'm saying when I say a team's online? You realize to be really online, you actually have to have good players, right?
Yeah.
Or skilled players, rather. Maybe that's a better way to say it. Because it's not like just having 50 ping makes players work. Like, Hunden doesn't just drop 1.5 rating in a match because he has 50 ping. No, it'll still be terrible. The point is, odds are, if you're an online team, you have players who are either too young or cheat or just have some nerve issues. It's one of those three things. Now, the reason why I've always been suspicious about the Space Soldiers team is, aside from, I think it's only Kallax is actually young. I think the rest of them, mate, are like 22 to 28 or something mad. Like, they're not even young. And you add in, how many lands have they been to now? Probably like 8 big international tournaments. Sure. You know, like, this isn't a team without the experience or too young. They're clearly just a team that has some skill, but doesn't transition offline sometimes, or at least in these key moments you're talking about.
Yeah, and like you say, I think, you know, it just doesn't stand out as one of their strengths. Like, if they close out a map, it always feels close. And when they lose, they generally tend to let teams back in. So, or were never in to begin with. I do not associate Space Soldiers with formidable tactics. Now, there was a moment in the game where there was a bit of heartbreak for them. There was a timeout called. Fnatic were getting back into it. I think it was at 14-14, if I remember rightly. And there was an auto-sniper deployed. Now, for me, I have never understood people that sort of get upset about expensive guns in the game potentially being overpowered.
This has got to go up with the Brazilian example on Team One earlier, one of the most ludicrous fan outrages I've ever seen.
No
logic to it at all.
Easily the most ludicrous. But I mean, you know, like, when you say, oh, you're an auto sniper noob, we've all heard it in Counter-Strike when you come through the ranks. That is a mentality that is from pub servers, that basically, when you're playing like 30v30 on office and four people have auto snipers, yes, those thin choke points start looking like the fucking Normandy beaches. And it's incredibly frustrating because there's not really a lot you can do to neutralize that. So that mentality for some reason spills over into fans assessing the pro scene. Well, let me tell you, there's things pros can do to neutralize one auto sniper on a team. Very much so. That's why you don't see them picked up all the time.
Mate, if someone tells me that you're their worst player in a 14-14 game is going to buy a shit gun that's mega expensive and doesn't like make up for that, please, please do that.
Yeah, exactly.
The player, by the way, is going to be kicked out of the team if they lose this fucking tournament.
Yeah.
What a fucking ball of gold it is, by the way.
Yeah, you remember like how NIP back when in their dominant heyday used to utilize double auto snipers and auto snipers.
Funny enough, existed to be one of the players who did it, I believe. Yeah.
So it's just something that players will try and use from time to time, and situationally, in the right hands, the gun can be good. The idea that it is in any way overpowered is ludicrous. And any fan that would have a problem with somebody buying the auto sniper in the current meta, where you can win rounds by just getting CZs and running at people without any flashes or smokes whatsoever, and you're not outraged about that.
Oh, they also, by the way,
mental.
There was people, you know, like the more vaguely literate ones who don't just blurt one word, auto noob, the ones who don't do that. There was actually people trying to argue, seriously, it's like a sign of disrespect. This has got to go up with when Cold Zero got mad that fucking Simple tried to knife him and was like, it's disrespectful. Like, you know, there's no respect in the game, right? That's why I've always thought it's hilarious when people get mad when like someone fucking teabags their corpse in the game. It's like, or when they used to get mad at Happy for shooting the corpses, like, grow the fuck up, would you? If you do that, right, here's the thing, just own it. Just admit you are the most triggered snowflake to ever exist. You get mad about fictional shit in a video game, including someone basically doing what's like actually a subpar move by buying that gun in that sort of circumstances, bearing in mind if he loses that round, probably going to feel like an absolute fucking dickhead, isn't he, and probably lose the whole game.
Yeah, so I'll show you, let me just find it for you. Because I did have it out, but I accidentally closed the tab. So I'll get it back for you. So what happened was, after Golden bought the auto sniper and they won that round, which, by the way, wasn't even really because of Golden.
No,
he got two kills with the auto sniper and an assist, a tag. They'd already lost the round. There was three of them bunched up around fucking Tetris at the time. So for some reason, the space soldiers decided to target Golden, which is really strange as well. Maybe it's part of it, because obviously you can tell from Golden's name, he's obviously got some partial Turkish heritage in there, right? That's what I've always been told and always assumed, based on the name. And yet the Turkish fans singled him out.
Yes. That was even more bizarre, right? You'd think that they'd be like, well, cool, if we can't win the tournament, at least he has won.
Yeah, especially given he was going to get kicked out of the team, so it's a nice little underdog. Absolutely no class whatsoever from the fans who did this. And Sam will show you now. They went on to his fucking Instagram and literally just spammed auto noob. They went on to his Steam profile and just posted some unbelievable, like, really vile abuse.
You have to wonder about that as well, right? Here's the other thing. I don't mind when people just say stuff either. First of all, if you say it in Twitch chat, fair enough, people are just saying stupid shit in there anyway. Okay, it's not like the player reads that. But the people, like, obviously, the famous way the Brazilian fans do it is they're all on Facebook, so they all go on people's personal Facebooks and post shit. In this scenario, they're going on Instagram.
Just read your one that really stood out for me. On his Steam profile, which, by the way, Sam, if you want to show his Steam profile, because he obviously deleted a lot of these, and you can see he's starting to get some support on there now too. But obviously, there's still some abuse on there if you go through it. But I think this just sort of sums it up for me. Why play auto, you fucking noob? You are bad player, you fucking noob, son of a bitch. Yeah. All fuck your mother with two
R's. And that was just from the Fnatic Discord from a month ago. Not bad.
No,
timer was all right.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Good delivery. So it was just an insane reaction. This is
I love that one as well. Why is it always go fuck your mother? Come on, man. Your mama raised you wrong.
But it was just so bizarre. It's easily the most stupid thing to get upset about I've seen from any fans at all, to sort of target a player for just buying a gun in the game and winning a close game with a great comeback, it is utter madness to me. I've never seen anything that ridiculous. Now, what I will say is that pretty, like, classily, Space Soldiers actually came out themselves, the organization.
And basically, which they didn't have to do. Come
no,
on.
No, wait. They definitely didn't have to do it. This is why I'm saying it's pretty... it's a pretty.
Oh, I appreciated the sentiment. It's just I always say this, by the way, because what's funny is every now and then when Brazilians are going mad at me, there'll always be a couple of Brazilians that either send me private messages on Facebook or just say outright to me in tweets, like, you know, oh, you have to understand a lot of other Brazilians are actually, like, you know, either poorly educated, so they don't know how to communicate with people from Western Europe, you know, or they don't have very good English, or they're very young, you know, so don't take it too seriously, you know, these are just idiots, you know, like, we're not all like this in Brazil. And whenever that happens, I always tell the people, like, mate, you don't have to apologize. You haven't done anything wrong. I realize there are cool people who live in all these countries, but fucking hell, like, why, what's sad is even that person's buying into the logic that, you know, oh, I'm part of this group identity. It's like, you're not. I exempt all Space Soldiers players and all, as long as they're not, unbeknownst to me, behind the scenes stirring it up, which as far as I know, they're not. They're definitely not to blame for this. If anything, they're probably victims of this rabid fan base as much as anyone else, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, which as Fallen has said many a time, you know, the fans that attack the people that beat us attack us when we failed to beat them as well. You know, it's like they just throw shit all over the place. So, but I thought it was a classy move. I'll just read you the tweet. It says, "We would like to apologize to Golden and Fnatic on behalf of our fans for their inappropriate remarks. We do not condone such behavior and kindly ask for our fans to refrain from it in future." And I think it's nice to see an organization sort of take a stand against unacceptable behavior. Did the tweet in Turkish as well, made a point of putting out two tweets, one in English, one in Turkish. You know, I got to give them a lot of credit for that, because think about it. You're the organizer. Like, they've got way more to think about. The players are going to be disappointed. Obviously, the organization's going to be disappointed. Missed out on a payday. This would have been their first big international tournament win. And they've still sort of had the time, the presence of mind and wherewithal to observe what's going on social media and put a tweet out like this. So I think massive props to Space Soldiers for doing it. And if more organizations would just take a firm hand. And again, I'm not saying they have to do it, but I think it might help. You know, like, it's something that could possibly discourage some of the more outrageous elements in fan culture, potentially. I mean,
well, it's the equivalent of that thing where Taz came out with ESL Cologne and was like, exactly. Don't ban Boo Fnatic. I mean, here's the problem with that scenario was, yeah, great move from Taz, just likewise. But again, what sort of fan is such a pleb that they're like, I hated that guy. What's that, Taz? Yeah, a good guy, actually, I've realised. Like, come on, mate. I agree it'd help, but, like, those people are obviously just clueless as fuck, just followers anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, true. So, yeah, Space Soldiers missing out on their big payday there. That was another story that came out. I'm trying to think if there was anything else that we wanted to cover from WESG that maybe I've glossed over. I mean, obviously, Fnatic winning the tournament. We've talked about that, talked about a few other things. So, yeah, I think we can probably just leave that tournament there. I don't want to dwell on it too much. Like I say, for me, I appreciate what they're trying to do, but I hope they do get to listen to this feedback and change the overall structure of the tournament and how it works, because you really shouldn't have top-tier teams playing international mix-ups at a tournament with this kind of prize money and the prestige.
And if you've got that much money, come on, why the fuck are there all these PC problems? Come on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, that it's, I know for a fact they've got good PCs in China, so...
I mean, there was a lot of ropey things with this event. Like, I don't normally call people out for this sort of stuff, but, like, this was, like, the sort of event that's, like, reaching out to me, like, a week before the fucking event starts. Like, can you work this event? Like, are you for real? What, in China? Where could you need a visa? No, can't, unsurprisingly. Mm. That's ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
I don't understand. The part I don't get is, like, how can you have that much money and not have, like, all planned out in way in advance, you know, and everything set up and everyone on signed up and on pit? Because, again, another detail about this event, actually, by the way, I don't know if you noticed, there was, like, fucking loads of teams didn't arrive at the event.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there was, like, 5 or 6 teams didn't come.
It's so bizarre. But, yeah, they really need to, you know, up their game if they want to be taken seriously. You know, tournaments have a pretty high bar. right now, and for this kind of prize money, that's the only thing that's insulating you from relentless criticism is the fact that you've got the biggest prize pool in the game, and that will not last forever. Let's move on. Let's talk about the more details of the French Shuffle coming out. We had Ocelot do a podcast. I like that.
As we alluded to in one of the past episodes, when we did kind of roast him for the fact that he actually did initially seem like he was full of shit, just doing the PR thing of like, right, results are bad, so I can't do anything, so let's just come out and sort of buy myself an extra month by saying I'm doing something in depth, which obviously what every org tries to do. But fair play to him. As with the NIP one, he has actually been good for his word. And in this particular example, like, you actually got to see, Ocelot is a fucking G. I've always thought he was a cool guy. His problem was he was very misunderstood because he was a bit egotistical for a couple of years. But actually, he is one of the rare examples I've seen of someone who did actually somewhat reform himself from that sort of behavior. And crucially for me, for someone who was a bit at one point in time for a hot minute, you know, in the ninja of his day and was just blowing up. And as a result, his ego was just going through the roof, you know, he actually did completely get like a sense of humor about himself again. You can roast him, you can say he's just a cool guy, mate.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we talk about it a lot. When you come up in esports, and like, let's be real, like, being a big deal in esports 10 years ago is not the same as being a big deal in esports now, in the present. A lot more eyeballs, a lot more money, a lot more a business potential, and a lot higher standard, honestly, in terms of what's expected of you, because with the advent of social media and mainstream media attention now and all of that expectation, we almost have to behave, and this is one of the things that I've never really liked that's happening to esports, but we almost have to behave as if we are part of that mainstream now. It's like, no, you're trying to bring us into you. We've always been a niche thing, and now that we're blowing up, we're changing what made us what we are. And I never really liked that. I mean, I used to say all the time, I never got why motherfuckers would go to esports events and wear like tuxedos on a broadcast or whatever, you know, like, I don't like wearing suits. I don't think that's a representation of who we are, because we got onto that because obviously mainstream attention can be tough. And Ocelot was one of those guys who his transition has actually been quite remarkable. He's gone from being a star player in his team to sort of a failing star player whose ego doesn't quite match up to his skills anymore, to then being the poster boy for toxicity for Riot Games because he told somebody to get cancer in a game once. Then went from that to being an owner of an organization, and a pretty poor organization to begin with that had to rebrand. And then he's gone through all of that to create one of the most successful brands in esports currently. So his transition has been incredible if you followed it like me and you have. And it's great to see him sort of have that grasp now of this is how you need to interact with the community. He doesn't just talk, he does things. When he floated the idea of a podcast, the idea of getting a player who has left your organization to sit down with you and talk about the explicit problems in the team you still have, I think that's fucking ballsy as fuck. I mean, really, there's not many team owners. Maybe Ocelot and Hex would do that. You know, they're the ones who will lay it all out.
And that, by the way, shows you actually legit had a real relationship with that player. You know, like while they're in the team, they'll all pretend that, oh, he is like a father figure to me. But there's a lot of people I know that the second they're out the door, they want, some of them have like mad animosity to some of these owners, you know.
So what was revealed in that podcast was really fucking crazy to me. And again, I know we disagree on this because I saw your fucking tweet and I think you're out of your fucking mind. I think you've been on the fucking ching for a few days. I think that's what's been going on with you. Right. But anyway, basically Shox revealed that he wanted to take out NBK in Apex.
Get him out.
And replace him with your fucking Wolverine picture existence and fucking Smiths, which, like, literally
getting the old band back together.
Yeah, mate, this is like a fucking just absolute shocking downgrade. It would have been. It's no wonder nobody was going to go for that. I mean, least of all Ocelot, I hope, because sure, replacing his existence as a coach and having Smiths goes out, makes sense. Maybe there's a player out there that could come in and do either NBK or Apex's job. But you've just downgraded all your fucking, like, your entry fragger for a washed up in-game leader whose brain's good, but the body is also fucking weak. And Smith's a player who was so bad in his last year of competitive play, his stats made Fifth Laren look like fucking Cold Zero, you know what I mean? So I don't know what was going on. This is what I mean about Shocks. It's all about the heart, the brain.
Here's the thing though, Rich.
The brain goes on holiday.
One thing you have to say is, in an example where obviously most players in that team didn't want to make a change, they just want to keep doing the same shit over and over again. They were going to distract us all with having MBK become the in-game leader, and just, you know, like, they were just circling the same fucking sinkhole they've been down two or three times the last few years. You've got to give Shocks credit for this. He was willing to shake the entire fucking thing up. He was willing to literally leverage his star power to try and bring two people back from the dead, basically. That's pretty insane, isn't it?
Yeah, he's not a fucking necromancer, though, is he?
And also, this guy's such a fucking G that he literally was like, all right, MBK, I've heard you're the kingmaker around here. Get out then.
Like, fuck off, yeah.
Yeah, it's mental, no, isn't it? It's not a mad Game of Thrones gambit.
No, mate, don't get me wrong. He's like fucking Ray Winston in Scum, his approach to teams. Like, he is
I'm the daddy now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right? Fair fucking play. But, like, he can't believe for a second that these players are better than the ones he's replaced. Go
mate,
on.
First of all, I know you were loving this, but obviously I've always said of everyone, Shocks does have the best of the French accents, because not only does he have the really strong accent, but he is obviously like, anytime I think of the term metrosexual, I just think of Shocks, because he's just so clearly like that. And there was a bit in the interview when he goes, when he was talking about something, and then he pulls out two red roses and goes, I have two, one for my love existence, one for my love space. And I'm just sat there going, what am I even watching right now? Is this my life? Am I just descending into watching Days of Their Life or something like that? Yeah, is this The Bachelor? Is that the system Shocks was using to decide his new team? And we've got eight lucky bachelors here trying to win the affections of Princess Shocks. Eddie, you are always my love. Like, well, I'm out. What even is this? What even is this? I'm sorry, MBK. The sex with you was not as passionate as I want. You are too, how you say, robotic?
And out he goes, mate.
Now out you go. And then obviously MBK is just like, Johnny Five must die. Lovable right. Character.
Short Circuit, great movie. But look, you can't believe this would have been an upgrade. You can't, mate. There's just no way like that this could have been, like, first of all, you fucking were not saying Smith was good when he was playing. You fucking know it, you obviously little cunt. You little cunt. You fucking, your tweets, you saw them side by side. They're a year apart, mate. And you're going, Smith's the fucking observer of them. Because he's missing all the kills. And then you're like, Smith's got a lot of shit. Smith's got a lot of shit from people in this.
Tell you what, y'all need to just let off that Smith. He's a good y'all going too far with his shit.
You've got nerve, man. Come on. There's no way you think you can honestly believe that team would be better than what they had. The Shocks version.
I do think they would be better. But here's the thing. The reason why is because Smith's wouldn't be doing any of the stuff he was doing in those teams where he was playing badly. The idea is, what I'm getting communicating to me from this team, by the way, they literally constantly explicitly said, by the way, he will not op. I promise he will not op. Was like, this is going to be Smith's playing the ultimate version of the bitch role fucking support player who just has to do everything everyone else says. And the logic in this team is, well, he's already done that role with Existence in the past, so he's just going to be there to do literally whatever Existence needs within the tactic. And the reason why I do think that this team could work is because the premise of the team is that once you have Existence and Smith set up like that, they will just do the team element of the game, and then Shocks and KNS will be turned loose to have that superstar combo we all wanted to see but never properly got to see. So I will say I did put a lot of the emphasis, like, this would be a big gamble, but the difference is, if you imagine a world in which KNS and Shocks are both really good, now that's not some ludicrous proposition, in a world where they're both fragging out of control, you don't need that much after that to win some games. So at this point, Smith doesn't have to shoot people with a gun. He literally, believe it or not, this might be the one time where that shit thing he told me about how he's the best flashbang player in the world or some shit, like, might actually come into play.
Well, obviously, we'll never know now, but I suppose... I mean,
at this point in time, he's like fucking Lenny out of Mice and Men. He's like, Edward, Richard, will there be the rabbits? He's like, yeah, I'm just going to flashbang you, shot. Smith, come on, sleep. I'm sorry, but where are we going? Is this the new team with existence? Yeah, just come around here. Shh. Have a rose. Don't you go. I love you. I just can't quit you.
Little kiss on the way out.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, like, now people are saying that that is going to be the core of a team. That
would be interesting, right?
Smiths and Shocks are going to make a team. Of, I mean, I can't imagine that Ziwoo's going to be part of it. He's the name that always gets floated.
Yeah.
I don't know who the other two would be. Now, existence...
Well, obviously, the problem is, by the way, did you notice in none of these moves, are there any envious players? There was none coming into G2 now. That's why they got Mixwell. There was none in the proposed G2 coup d'etat by Shocks. So it looks like, to me, envy players are off the table.
Right. People are spamming the chat saying it's been announced. It hasn't been announced, has it? Have they just announced?
Just lying in it.
No, they're lying.
Has it been announced then?
Yeah, it hasn't been announced.
There's nowhere in it. Just lying. Just telling lies.
Telling lies. Why are you always lying?
That's why we can't have nice things, isn't it?
But you know, so I don't know what the lineup will be. But, I mean, again, I've got no faith or confidence in...
But here's the problem, Rich. That's not the same. Because remember that my whole premise just rested on you have to have Shocks and Kenny S fragging out of control.
Yeah.
Well, there's not going to be any Kenny S, is there? Yeah. He's in G2. So at this point, unless you literally can get Scream, fucking RPG, I don't know, it's just not going to happen, is it? Like, this lineup probably isn't going to work out. With that said, though, you have to understand, Richard, Matt, if there's one thing that's more satisfying than anything, it's when everyone's telling you, you're wrong, just let it go, you hold with it, and at the end, you suddenly get, look like I was going to get the ultimate comeuppance, didn't I? I was going to wreck all these cunts, like, existence was just going to roll back in. Shocks was literally, that was like the pawn for me, mate, where Shocks was just like, he is a real captain, he will play fucking 15 hours of the day, I have gone to sleep, I have had 4 Ritz cracker, I come back, he is fucking playing, what are you doing? It's like, his brain is burning. It's like, it's straight fire, mate, wasn't it? It was straight fire.
Look, mate, you
fucking
weren't
Roseworthy.
You weren't even around for actual vintage existence. Like, he was already sort of a shadow of himself by the time CSGO came rolling around. You don't remember him when he was a fucking AWPer. I do. The motherfucker was sick. But I've got no faith in him now. People always say, he's still got it. He hasn't. It's
also
done.
You have to realize, Richard, I was just waiting for when they made this lineup and they come back and the gamble pays off. They win a major. Obviously, there's about 700 clips of you. Like, you're never going to win that major. Just fucking retire. Like, you would have been in all of them, mate. You've got Matt, the treatment I get every time.
Yeah, that would have absolutely wrecked me. I'd have had
mate, you might appreciate this. I can't remember who it is, but this is actually where people don't realise. In some senses, behind the scenes, I am actually sound. I had a team contact me. I can't remember what tournament it was, and say, oh, would you mind if we used one of your tweets where you basically said that our team wouldn't win the tournament, but we did? And I said, yeah, why not? Sounds fine to me.
Yeah, of course.
Just say my motherfucking name, motherfucker.
No, look, I think when people get to know you, they know that you are a bit of a moody cunt, but you're always up for the entertainment and the banter. Like, that, the entertainment comes first. You are a showman, if nothing else. I know that. And I understand and appreciate
also, this is how dumb people are, right? I know idiots just try to claim, you just say the opposite to everyone else. But then if I say the things that everyone agrees with, why are you saying obvious shit? So that, first of all, that's never worked as a logical position. But if I'm the guy who just makes fun of Smiths all the time, now's the time when I'd get the most engagement on my tweets by roasting Smiths and being like, why are they putting in a shit player? You know, like, wow, Shocks wants to play 4v5. I didn't know he was that. You know, I could do all the obvious shit. Yeah. I'd be on the top of the subreddit right now if I did that.
Ding! The light bulbs just go.
Excuse me a minute. Excuse me.
Right. Anyway, Roker, he's left Splice.
Fucking hell! There's a name I haven't heard in a long time. By the way, I always say this. This is one of the few things I say in my videos, Rich. If people ever ask you that question in interviews, you regret anything? Obviously, I do the classic thing. I think of the 3 or 4 things they're trying to get me to say I regret, and I just go, I regret none of it. You know, I try and rationalize it, some bullshit, like, yeah, it made me grow as a person. Also, didn't want to go to Poland anyway. And then one thing I actually do admit, though, I do always admit this, Richard. I wish I could go back in time and not ever say on all those episodes of By the Numbers and in that video that my dream team for NA involves Broker. I wish I could have that one back, Rich. Like, I've seen him play too many LAN games now, and that's got to be one of my worst calls of all time.
I think mistakes were made by both of us in that one, because if I remember rightly, I was putting JDM on rifles, so... we didn't have the biggest... sample size of data to really make an informed.
That was though when there was very few players, you had to take some gambles, you know.
Yeah, you know, I'm all about that. I roll the motherfucking dice, me. But anyway, so Roker has left Splice, and that's the Splice lineup with obviously Semper.
Splice still alive as well.
Davey, Drone. So this is a, you know, it's a team that I think didn't they win? The MDL. Was that them? I think they won it. I think they won the Mountain Dew League. Anyway, so it's a decent knocking on that door, tier one North American team. And Roker's apparently failed to agree terms and isn't going to be in that team anymore. Now, as we've kind of alluded to there with our jokes on the way in, I don't really think I've seen sort of a drop-off in terms of talent. And a failure to ever, like, it's not even failure to launch. It's like you didn't even really get to the launch pad. As Roker, he had this brief window where he was doing unthinkable things. He was in that
online, admittedly.
Well, yeah. As I said, some of the clips I've seen defy explanation.
Well, that's the thing, though, Rich. This was the period. People have to remember, he was one of those players where he had the whole scenario where, because iBuyPower was banned, you had a whole bunch of the top tier getting scooped out of the way, and now you had all these chances where it's like, right, who's actually going to be legit out of the people who sort of get an opportunity now? And obviously, at the time, people will forget this. At the time we're talking about, people like Elige, Nitro, they weren't online yet in the sense of, like, they hadn't come up as top players yet. They were still unknown quantities where it's like, you know, I know now everyone likes to claim every time Nitro does, well, I always said he'd be really good. Well, you're a daft cunt then, because every other month he doesn't do that. So that doesn't even make sense, does he? So at the time, though, it was very uncertain as to who the next crop of NA talent was going to be. Like, for example, the period we're talking about, Automatic wasn't even on anyone's radar, mate. He was just playing in bum teams and no one even his own teammates didn't give a fuck about him. So... You had to make some bold guesses at the time.
Right, I just want to put this out there, because if people think I'm being harsh, we'll all watch this little 3-2-1 together. Are you ready, Sam?
Doing them up now, man.
Yeah. Right. It's only 20 seconds, but this for me is like when people go, oh, he just used to try wacky stuff online, and that's why sometimes they looked a bit dodgy. The kills, like. This is the one clip that always stayed in my mind whenever I think about him. So you ready to go, Sam?
Yep. 3, 2, 1, go.
We're ready for this flick no scope. Ready? Be ready. Ah!
What? Why is this real?
That was a no scope, by the way. Swear to God.
What is this?
So. For me, I'm just saying the clips were problematic, is what I'm saying.
The idea he thinks that's like even vaguely passable.
just saying. I'm not making any.
And he's even going around telling you, look, I'm doing no score. Are you fucking mentally ill or something? That's like going, you're in a bank, you're like, I've got a fucking mask in my pocket, I'm going to rob the place.
No, but
why are you telling me that?
What's mental about it is, like, you think about how, like, the Sabrosa clips blew up and pretty much, like, ended his career as, like, you know, ever being a credible player ever again. And you can decide whether or not that's right or wrong for yourselves. You think about how the Flusher will always have that question mark over him because of those clips and
people. Is there anyone in this list of players who didn't cheat that you're going to mention?
Yeah, I'm just saying. But bizarrely, there was clips like this out there, and you would just see people tweet, Roker's going to be amazing. So I don't know. Whatever. But it just is a weird drop-off for him. Like, he's never... And I guess the question I wanted to ask you is there... And he's only 22.
Yeah.
Is there any turnaround? Are we likely to see him anywhere else? Or
it doesn't seem like it. Because another thing I have to say as well is, like, he's also a player where whenever I made those comments in the past, maybe he'll get into this team or maybe he should be, I never heard another pro in the entire fucking NA scene tell me, yeah, he will. He's really good. I like him. I want to play with him. I never heard that from anyone. So unfortunately, if you combine not being that, like being a bit underwhelming as a player with, first of all, some dodgy clips like this, and then thirdly, with actually not being apparently very popular with the other player, yeah, you're probably not going to get a career. I have to say, though, this actually shows how, whenever people talk about stuff like CSGO is just oversaturated, you know how fucking cool it is that you can actually have like a tier 3 tournament that has like 70k for first place. Or for example, these players that we joke about, like, is he still alive? They've got actual like proper salaries they're getting every month. The scene's actually healthy as fuck in some senses.
I think it's one of the most healthy organic esports scenes there is, if not the healthiest. You know, you think about some of the other games where you're simply just not allowed to run tournaments or it's not worth it because the developer wants their pristine new shiny league to fucking be the number one and the only place where people play at a high competitive level. I think the open circuit for Counter-Strike...
Mate, how much is CSGO shitting on all the other games now? Obviously, in League of Legends, right, people have literally been, like, suspended for stuff like, when are you, after you finish your contract, would you like to play with me? Banned. You're fucking banned, fined. Overwatch League, a meme was used. Delete that now. Then you go to CSGO, everyone, you know that really fat guy from Russia who clearly has a lot of, like, social problems? He is a sexual god who women desire. Ex-god. Just like, we don't give a fucking CSGO, mate. It's straight gangster. Like, fucking easy does it, motherfucker. That's all you need to know about this game. It's because, let's face it, I've always said this about Valve. It's not that Valve are really cool devs who, you know, like, know what they're doing. Valve are just the fucking... We're just the latchkey children. Valve are just the absent parents, and therefore, while they're away, we're just out at some fucking junkyard.
So yeah, probably he's not gonna see Roka on a team anytime soon. But here's an upcoming team.
To be fair, if he's not gonna have much of a career, just start cheating again. Make it fun. Just start fucking around online. Do it again. In fact, do it, but just be running around like, ha ha, no scope. You see that, no scope.
So here's reasonable. The team that are on their way up.
Come on.
We've got a player on his way down, so let's talk about a team on the way up. NRG. Now, we talked about this roster. Yeah. We laughed about one acquisition in particular. We definitely have to eat a slice of humble pie for this one. The Bulgarian AWPer Cirque. Don't do the joke again, ever.
In the end, he has been shining, Rich. The sun's out for him.
Yeah, exactly.
And speaking of that, his sun was out in that joke.
Yes. But this is, again, like, because, you know, I've always talked about Breezy and I think how he's got, like, potential and stuff, and you've always gone, ah, fucking who's Breezy?
Another online cheater.
Just a really good player, mate. Ethan, of course, is on the team now, and you've got Daps.
I believe he's called Nate.
Not to me, he's not.
That's a classic example of where, like, unless you have some sick personality, you're going to create a whole thing around it. Don't do some stupid name like that and then also just be like the most fucking bland Casper milquetoast motherfucker in the world. Just be like, I am literally the demographic of white male. Have I succeeded yet? In an actual patriarchy, he'd be the king of the world.
And you know, I do want to toot my own horn here a little bit. Well, because I said when, Ethan joined, that NRG had some potential. I think that, you know, they could actually be like a little upset team in NA, and, you know, they've gone on to win the iBuy Power Spring Invitational, which you'll probably say isn't, like, you know, a top tier tournament, sure, but their results in this tournament, pretty fucking good. They beat the Malign Splice we just talked about. They overcame a rogue roster, which is the Hiko and Cadian Sick Vice GMD team. But most impressively of all, of course, is 2-0-ing Liquid in the final of this tournament. Now, obviously, you wouldn't expect the team of NRG, just looking at them on paper, to sort of comprehensively beat Team Liquid, but it was pretty one-sided, honestly. 16-9, 16-11. It wasn't that Liquid kind of, like, you know, everybody was sort of where you would expect them to be. All their frags were kind of nicely stretched out, but it was just some, like, monstrous performance from this Cirque kid, who is just unreal. Like, literally, NRG constantly rolled the dice on talent all the time. They had that just nine kid, you know, Justin with a nine in his name, who's now a PUBG streamer. Real cool dude.
Worth it just for the fucking chat clip on Inside the NBA.
Yeah.
No, they brought in just nine N, just like
yeah. Yeah, just nine N. How the fuck do you say his name? It can't be Justin. It's true. Got a fucking nine in it. All right, anyway. So you had him, and they tried it with Silent as well. And then after that, there's like been some other, you know, Tabson obviously was a name that they fucking threw the dice on when they brought him in. Whoever's done the scouting for Cirque this time around, presumably not the same person, has played a fucking blinder. It's insane how good this kid has been since he joined NRG. And he's been instrumental in their recent run of performances. But I've got to give a shout out to somebody.
And of course, now he's joining SK Gaming.
Imagine that. You would be lost for words. But I've got to give a shout out to someone else as well. They recently brought in a new coach.
Who is it?
It's a UK player called Imi. So Imi has come in, and I'll tell you a bit of background about Imi. Imi used to do Counter-Strike lessons. Now, I never really understood this, because to watch Imi play was to sort of, you know what I mean? You were watching a very strange brand of Counter-Strike.
Not the raw cerebral player.
Yeah. I mean, like, you could see what he wanted to do, but he just rarely did it. You know what I mean? And he wasn't the best player, but he did a lot of, like, lessons online for, like, younger players, and he used to do coaching. And by all accounts, it was pretty good that he did do this coaching, and people seem to have quite a warm regard for it. And he was pretty well respected in the UK somehow for like being like a pretty good thinker about the game, which the Imi I know is somebody who just likes to drink and have a fucking good time and all that. You know what I mean? I've never really met this version of Imi. But since he's joined NRG, like apparently he's like really took it super serious. He's gone in there. He's like,
they've lost one map, I think, since he joined.
Yeah, and like since he's come in, because keep in mind they already had the roster, they've only lost one map. And a lot of people are like calling them onliners and doing all that bullshit thing. But I got to be honest, I think, I think Imi's going to take a large part of the credit here. And I never thought I'd be saying that. But watching how the team's done, fucking fair play to him. Turns out the guy might actually be a fucking sick coach.
Not bad, right?
Yeah. Good for him. What do you make of this NRG team?
I mean, here's the thing. Yeah, they definitely have a decent bunch of talent. I mean, yeah, some of these players, clearly people. I mean, funny enough, I will say what's weird about this team is none of the top players seem to want to play with any of these people. So admittedly, I guess it makes sense they've had to make a team themselves and do it. Plus, I have always said, I know people don't get it. This is one of those areas where people think all I ever do is bang on the shit players in the game. No. Like, first of all, half the time if I do that, it's obviously a fucking joke. If you're so mentally ill, you can't see when someone puts a smiley, they're not being serious. And you're just beyond help at that point in time. Like, there's no point explaining it for the benefit of those people. But, like, someone like Daps is an outrageously bad individual player in the game. But I've always said he certainly seems like he does his homework as an in-game leader, tries to run a team properly. It's all fine in that sense. And this is exactly the sort of team he should be on. Yes, this is the level he should be at with the sort of players he should be playing with. And when you actually put him in a position like that, guess what? Now, within that context, he can succeed.
Mm. And like I said, the talent they've got on the roster now in terms of young talent, the key thing here for me is when you've got a team like this, where you've got like three young players that would all be desirable to fix a problem within another team individually. Like, I've no doubt people are going to come knocking for Cirque. People will probably come knocking for Breezy eventually, maybe Ethan too. What you have to do is when you've got a team like that, you've got to keep them together. This, you absolutely could not be like, I can sell one and still be good. No fucking chance. They're going to be the lifeblood of your team for some time. Definitely try and keep that core together with a good, solid in-game leader and maybe a decent, experienced support player. If you do that, I think NRG can honestly go somewhere and certainly be knocking on the door at being one of the better NA teams, consistently, I mean, not just at one small online cup. Right, last topics, and then we'll wrap up the show, because we're getting to that period of time. So, I saw today, there's been an update been an update to the beautiful game, Duncan.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, brilliant. They've patched out the CZ.
There we go.
We're back. Well, actually, they didn't do that. They have made changes to the Negev. Right? I always give Valve the benefit of the doubt with their patching choices because they've said they like to fix problems by not addressing the problem. They like to address things around the problem. So here it is. I'll read you what the blog says. It went, when we reworked the Negev last year, you do remember that when people were all crouch walking with their like fucking turrets.
Oh, by the way, when you play with Anders, he still buys the Negev. And if you know that guy, he can barely fucking kill people with a normal gun. I've never seen him get a kill with a fucking Negev. He just buys it all the time.
He's a special kind of player. Him. Yeah, obviously. But it says here, the goal was to identify a supporting role for the weapon, and I agree. I think it's ridiculous that there's so many guns that you may want to bring to the table.
Exactly. He's the fucking secret dev, and he's Ice Frog.
Imfrog. You only use a few of them. It was one of the problems with 1.6, if you remember it. You hardly ever really saw eco rounds. They barely ever happened. And you didn't use all the rifles, not by any stretch. You used the M4, you used the AK, you used the AWP. Yeah. That was it, pretty much. You've got all these guns in the game, and I respect the attempt to balance them all and give them a place. So I want that on record that I think that way. Anyway, the Negev featured attributes that promoted suppressive fire. Ineffective at first, but a controllable beam of death moments later. At this point, it's clear that the upside of the weapon isn't enough to compensate for its downsides, so we're making additional adjustments. The goal hasn't changed, but the implementation is a little different. First, the good news. The Negev is now a little cheaper.
Thank God.
When it says now a little cheaper, it's $1,700, Duncan. It's $1,700.
Same as a scout.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, means that either there's only two. Here's the thing that Valve doesn't realize about this sort of an update. There's only two ways this will go. Either it will remain not good enough and nobody will use it, or it will prove to be good and everyone will use it.
Yeah.
There's no middle ground on a gun like this.
Unfortunately, I think that's one of the fundamental problems with balancing Counter-Strike, though, because of the nature of the guns in the game and how they work with armor. There's only a limited amount of situations you'll find yourself in. There is always an optimal piece of equipment for a job that you need to do.
This is an example of a gun like some of the shotguns, which does have a place if you play. First of all, remember, people always forget this. Counter-Strike in CSGO is a game you play 5v5 like a real match. Counter-Strike, the game, was invented to be played in pub servers with like 15 players on each team or whatever. Yeah. So the difference is, if you're playing like Counter-Strike 1.6 on assault map with fucking hostages, a shotgun is a viable weapon. You might hide in a fucking vent or something. Point is, that's never going to be used in pro play. So how are you going to patch it to be used in pro play? Will either mean that it gets good enough they use it, in which case it probably OP as fucking a non-pro setting, or it's so bad in pro play that you can only use it in a non-play setting. There's certain guns you can't make the swap. Same thing happens, to be fair, in games like League of Legends. Like, there's certain champions in League of Legends can only be OP as fuck or can't be used, like fucking Yasuo or whatever, you know. They can only be so outrageously good or just not usable.
Yeah. What they've also done is they've made the burst fire more accurate. And the beam of death that they describe, where it gets that sort of like lasered in concentration, that now kicks in sooner into the recoil. So the bad news, as they put it, is that the Negev now has lower armor penetration, so it doesn't kill you with one bullet if it hits your helmet. While you're using it, firing, your movement speed is halved. So, I haven't had a chance to play with it yet. I'll probably just give it a quick go. It literally happened while we were setting up the podcast, so didn't have time to get on, but I'll have a look at it. But for me, it's like you say, I think this either puts it as a much more desirable purchase than an SMG situationally, and you're going to see a lot of Negevs.
I will say, if this is at all viable, please, every team that plays Space Soldiers, use it to close the game out.
Negev noob! All right. But yeah, so I don't know. So it's like you say, it's either going to make no difference to the meta, or it's going to be a meta defining change. Because they're the only two changes that happen in Counter-Strike. So no idea which one it is.
Plus, here's the thing, Rich. I'm actually on Valve's side in as much as I do hate it when people use that classic thing that they do. Like, you know, for example, where some idiot, like the real world example is where someone goes, why are bloody scientists doing experiments on fruit flies when they should be trying to cure malaria? And it's like, well, you do know, like, you know, that experiment, like, first of all, it's a totally different scientist, you know, different field, maybe even what he's working on could eventually one day help some fact that we'll discover that we're right. They do the same thing with Valve, where, you know, Valve will release like the update to the gloves and they'll be like, why are they working on this instead of the CZ? It's like, do you really think there's a bloke? And he's like, what shall I do today? Shall I, one dev that exists in the world, code the CZ, or shall I make gloves? It's a different guy, isn't it? It's a different part of the company. But this doesn't help Valve's case, right? We've been working away on the game for a few months, guys. Oh, fucking hell, what have you been up to? Trying to balance the game out. We're trying to make certain guns not be used as much, trying to make certain guns more viable. Fucking hell, right? You've been taking on board some of the things. Yeah, let's get, you know, some of those SMGs more viable but reasonable. Let's get the fucking CZ out of the game. Nah. What have you been doing then? Working on the Negev, obviously. But what was wrong with it, though? Not enough people were using it. So what have you done? What have you tweaked? Just changed everything about it. Are you going to use it yet? Well, probably not. I mean, doesn't seem that good. I'll change it again if you want. What's going on here? Is this some sort of mad thing? I sometimes wonder on those, you know, because at least in League, Rich, they're actually honest. They'll tell you who designed each of the champions. And so I know, for example, when some of those devs have mad power and they just abuse it, so their champion gets OP as fuck for no reason. And it's like, oh, I designed this one. Look, it's going out like that. Like,
Cassiopeia.
Yeah, who are the people deciding that, like, the R8 and, like, these guns, like, oh, put them in the game. Go on. Do it. Fuck it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, I haven't had a chance to play with it yet. It can't be as bad as the R8. That's going to be the all-time worst balance issue in CS history. So it's all right. I mean, but it's like I say, I'm going to reserve judgment on this one, play it myself, and then come back and say a few things. I just thought it was interesting that putting the Negev in that price range and making it more viable, you loving it. Come on.
You know when you just see something that's so mad cringe?
Yeah.
Right? So here's the thing. People are already going to get mad because I'm wrecking a kid here. But if you go on Tarek's Twitter, he just posted a picture, right? It just looks like one of those classic ones where you're bigging up a fan. And it just says, thanks for your support, Joe, and a love heart, right? And it shows a kid who's got a Cloud9 hoodie. So here's the thing. You're going to think, oh, this is cool because he's written a letter for Tarek. Yeah. So here's what the letter says. It's a picture of the E-League Major Trophy. It says, congrats. And then here's the message, right? I wonder if this kid's got at all a one-track mind. He goes, dear Tarek, thank you for thinking about me and giving me this sweatshirt. I really appreciate you for deciding to give away the sweatshirt from Joe. No mention of the fucking, well done on the major. Like, you are my favorite player. Dear Tarek, thank you for your sweatshirt. I like you and your tendency to give away sweatshirts to me, who now has your sweatshirt from a guy with a sweatshirt. P.S. Bring guns. That won't even make sense because the other part's all been timestamped. But leave it in. Just leave it in.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. We'll throw that in there, mad cunt. Right. All right. Let's wrap up the fucking show.
I just got buckled by how stupid that is.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Come on, kids.
Right. So just before we do the titles and thank all the people that are on the show, which Sam's definitely going to paste in a second, if you want to bring up this picture, somebody literally sent this in real time. I sound like Alex Jones when I say stuff like that. It's all happening.
Alive.
It's all happening in real time, full interaction. Somebody made the Shox Bachelor. It's there in the group chat. Have a look. For some reason, though, that... It looks so stretched and like it's giving him a mad snack. Yeah,
they have given a massive snack for no reason.
Why
does
he look like,
fix it myself? Hang on.
Why has he got the fucking body of Stephen Merchant? Why is his neck all.
Bro, no.
He looks like in fucking Lawnmower Man when they're all like fucking up when when the Terminator was in the fucking molten lava. It's disturbing, isn't it?
There you go. Yeah, that's much better, Sam. Good job. Good job. Right, so thanks to all the people. Oh, before we do thank our people, we got to point out the Patreon has dipped below that fabled $2,500 amount. It's on 2,408
If 80. Your comrades aren't fucking loyal to the cause, yeah. Maybe we'll have to have a few purges around here.
Well,
I
actually had a guy, he tweeted at me over something, and he was just being ridiculous. I think it was over the ninjas.
And then did he claim that he was one of the $100 patrons he's
got? Oh, no, I'll tell you the story. So I don't...
And you dare say something about Ninja, who's bringing esports to the fucking mainstream, to support you for $100? I can't do that.
So here's these fucking cunts,
aren't they? Just mentally ill.
Right, so here's what happened, right? He fucking was just tweeting about how there couldn't possibly be like any promotional element to the Ninja Drake phenomenon. And then he moved on.
Yeah, of course not. That never happens.
Right. So I was just like, okay, whatever. But he was in a conversation I was tagged in, and it was just the same, like, you know, really naive kind of worldview. Like, you know, I got enough people tweeting nonsense at me on Twitter all day. So I just thought, you know what, I'll just block it. I just make no bones about it. It's not a disagreement, right? I just don't want to have to see that in my feed, you know? And it was like 6 tweets or something. So I was just like, you know, enough's enough, block.
Come on.
So then he started tweeting other people going, well, first he did the classic, can't believe it, Richard Lewis has blocked me just because I disagreed with him, right? And of course, you've got no followers. No one cares. No one's even noticed that. So, all right. And then he tweeted at somebody else saying, ha, be careful. Richard Lewis might block you like he's just done to me. Me. And then he said something like, and I bloody support him on Patreon. Gonna take that back. So I saw this because obviously I'm still being tagged, right? Even though I've got him blocked, I can click on his tweets anytime. And I saw it, and I unblocked him, and he thought I was being like, you know, oh, come back into the fold, you know, because you're a Patreon. And I said, listen, you silly cunt, right? Like, where in your donation to make this podcast happen does it say you are now allowed to tweet the fucked up worldview in your mind at me, and I must listen to you? Are you paying me for that? Because I'll happily charge if you want to pay me a money so I have to read your tweets. Let's negotiate.
Oh, if he's, here's the thing. If he's a $100 Patreon, you can just tweet all the Buku mad shit you want, guys. I don't mind. $100 is not bad.
I don't know. It must have been about 5 or 10. Which is
fucking
obviously...
hell, $5.
Right? So for me, I'm like, it wouldn't matter if it was $1,000 fucking donator. You're donating for one thing, you're not getting the other. It's you know, there's nothing in that. So like, I just told him, I said, right, listen, you're the kind of follower I do not want. Keep your fucking money, stuff it up your ass. You are now blocked. So anyway, for some reason, the Patreon dropped this month. I can't really see why.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
What I'm going to say is the rest of those Patreons better fucking get in line or they're next.
Yeah.
Exactly. But anyway, please support the Patreon, guys.
Yeah.
We need your money.
So remember, the show will just end if the amount of money isn't there because me and Duncan, we know our worth and our value. And we know this is straight red hot fire and all y'all motherfuckers be addicted. So anyway.
Or the alternative is the Patreon dies, we lose the money. We take corporate sponsorship. We sell out all our values. We're here next week talking about how fucking, I don't know, Fallen's like man of the year or some shit like that. I don't know what we'd be doing in the sellout world. I'm trying to imagine some context. There's obviously no timestamps because we didn't make
any. Man of the year sponsored by Gillette. Yeah. And now the award for most reformed human being presented by Dr. Disrespect goes to Dr. Disrespect. Anyway. Let's just thank the following addicts, a.k.a. Patreons, for making this podcast possible. $100 patrons, Detlaff, Insomniac, Dr. Skrilla and Mr. Gay Icon, Chris Enwin, Hyolu, Mateus Pietakowski, and Jerky's Minion. And our $50 patrons, Sard Sawar, Daniel Plamenov Yordanov, Nastradamus, Marcus Kuyunpar, Mama Jama Hennessy, Keith Miller, Carl Oscar Garcia Firm, Ben Akagi Assassin, and William Southern. We're going to now spend the following week editing all the outrageous bits out of this part. This actually is one where we do have to just timestamp everything. But if you're watching the VOD, you missed straight fucking fire this time. I'm not even going to lie. We did delete the best bits. You're right this week. So make sure you tune in live next week. Until then, take care of yourselves. We'll see you on the next episode of By the Numbers.